الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us firstly with existence, thereafter being created in amongst the human beings, thereafter he has blessed us with iman, with faith on all the prophets and messengers. Today we are going to continue the session, whereafter you will have a short test. Just to recap, why a person needs to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why not live his life according to how he wants, this answer is given by these things underneath. They answer the why question. Always remember, when people ask why, then think about beliefs. You will find the answer there. So a person might, for example, say, why I should do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what the religion tells me. For example, you can say, going through the beliefs, because Allah had created you, you have not created you yourself. Why you can't live life as you want? He has sent message through angels. There are angels existing which are controlling many things, and they also convey message. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi. Why you can't live life as you want? Because the books of guidance has been sent. So now they are your books. Like every product has a manual, the human being's manual is the book of Allah, the book of God. And why you can't follow whatever you like and someone else? Wa rusulihi, because Allah has sent messengers to show you the path and way. And what happens if you deny all these things? Wal yawmil akhiri, you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. There will be fire and hell. And why? Well, qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi, everything is in control of Allah Azza wa Jal. You cannot escape His knowledge nor His power. And why you should follow Him? Wal ba'si ba'd al maut, there is life after death. So you see how the beliefs, they answer the why questions. So why you should follow this path? The answer lies here in these things. They develop the thirst. Why they develop the thirst? Because they tell you why you should actually be on that journey. Thirst comes because with the knowledge why a person needs to be on that journey. So you begin to answer why they should follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers, and build thirst in them. Then going to the mountain of prerequisites, which is the beliefs and knowledge how to worship and repentance and mujahida, to the bridge of purification, which is the tariq, the seven bodily organs, the purification of the mind, purification of the heart, and enlightenment of the soul. Enlightenment here means that the person here, when he reaches here, there is no contamination in his thinking. There is no contamination in his vision, in his intellect, that he sees everything at right place, at the right place. He sees the world as temporal. He sees shaitan as an enemy. A person who is not enlightened, he might see shaitan as his friend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told that no, shaitan is your enemy. But many people, they say with their words, but practically they have made their shaitan their friend and Allah their enemy. When a person becomes enlightened, it is that he thinks as the Quran mentions, he thinks he is like that. He also sees things like that. Because he has the light now of knowledge. His inner self is light. Because Anbiya alayhi salam's inner self was enlightened, so how they saw things, that's how you will see things as well, right at the right place. After that you reach the mountain of four objectives. Then if you move to the next diagram, the four objectives to which is that of preferring and giving preference and dominance to Allah's command, to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the creation, and also compassion for creation and presence of Allah. And from there you hope from the mercy of Allah. The mistake here you don't want to do is that you rely on your amals, on your journey, what you've been doing from the very beginning to here. Never do that. Otherwise, you're never going to get access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. If a person comes here and keeps thinking of what he's done very good deeds, he's done this, he's done that, he's reached very high level, and he's done the mujahida, and he spent long years doing hard effort. If they will be thinking of their effort and their deeds, this light is never going to come to them. Because they want to reach through their deeds, their deeds don't have the power to take them across. So here, you only rely on the mercy and grace of Allah, only then you will have access. You will have access to the pleasure of Allah, which is the ultimate aim of all divinely revealed religions, all tariqas, all silsilas. This should be. If someone says it is something else, they are mistaken. They are mistaken. Ultimate aim is Allah, which means the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we continue where we left yesterday, that you are now in the process of initiation. He explained the process of initiation slightly and also mentioned that those people who will have the permission, they'll have to give them separately permission. There's a different process to give them permission of initiation. So it can't happen like, for example, you learn the knowledge and you go and teach people, the spiritual connection won't be there. The spiritual connection, the light is not going to enter their heart. So for that, you need a different session. There are certain amals to be recited by me, for example, and then to permit you, only then you will have then permanent connection, and wherever you go, it will go with you. Otherwise, you will have just temporal thing. If you do on the permission of someone, it will happen. If not, it won't happen. So it's like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companion, that go and say to that tree, come here. So he has the permission, a temporal permission to say to the tree. So he went and said to the tree, come here, and the tree came running. Otherwise, if he would have said by himself after that or before that, the tree would not listen normally. So some, they have permanent initiation permission, and the light also is with them, so they can actually. So it's not that they have special ability, it's that they have steadfast on their own course, and they've actually train themselves in the halqa, and that's all it's required. Not actually that you need to be a high ranking wali for that, and just as simple as that. Like in anything, you need some training and then you have permission. So it can be given to anyone, mashallah, whoever is actually puts effort. So now we come to the stage where you are to give amal to people. What first time, what you should give to them? Number one, you should give always start with the tongue sheet, with the tongue, with the control of the tongue. So you explain to them that this is the tongue sheet. Now people have a wrong idea of that sheet. They think we can't do it. It's too difficult for us. It's too difficult for us to control. You should explain to them, it is given for you to practice. Who is saying you are perfect? Practice and perfect, they are two different words. One person says that, okay, I want to test your driving because it should be perfect, and we just show you are driving. And this person is shown, the person drives and he drives well. And the other person who never driven, the instructor says, come sit with me and I'll teach you how to drive, where the accelerator is, where the brake pedal is, where the steering. And he says, no, I can't drive. I've never driven in my life. I can't drive. No, it's very difficult. Too many cars on the road. They'll bump into me. Well, this is foolishness, because the instructor is not saying him that he is going to drive like some expert drivers of the world. He is basically saying, come and sit, I will train you. So when you give these sheets, you are meant to say, explain to them, and also yourself first, that this is training, this is not a manifestation or showing perfection that you can do it well. This is for those sheets, are for those people who can't control, who cannot control the sins, who cannot control all the. They are for the very people who find difficult, who find very difficult to control these things. Training is not given to perfect people. Training is given for people who are yet not actually able to do these things. So when you give the sheet, explain, it's not imposed upon you that you can't do mistakes. It is for the very persons like you who needs to practice. So only with that you are going to become perfect or good one day. But condition is that you have the commitment. Do you keep on doing mujahida, and you keep on actually. If you fail, you keep on trying. That's how human beings learn everything, learning to drive. Many people even fail tests. Many people fail exams. Many people learn to write and they can't do very good writing, very beautiful writing, calligraphy, but gradually, slowly, they carry on. Similarly, people who become medical practitioners, opticians, others, they are all trained in a particular way. So this person is under training. Secondly, you give them the sheet and the instruction of sincerity, which is ikhlas, level one. And that only means that you don't do these, particularly the good deeds and this path, you don't take this path for earning fame and name and glory, money in the world. You don't want to earn praise of people. You are doing it to earn the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the choice, you see. Either you earn the praise of people, or you earn the praise of Allah. And which is the better one? To earn the praise of Allah or the praise of people. People can't give you anything. They can't take away anything without the permission of Allah. While Allah, if you earn the praise of Allah, Allah can give you everything without the permission of creation. And Allah can take away everything without the permission of creation. He doesn't need to ask the creation, shall I do that, punish this person or not? Or he doesn't have any weakness. He have full authority. So it does not mean that harm does not come through creation. Allah uses it as means sometimes. But it is everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created from Allah azza wa jal. He is the ultimate who is in control. So you give sincerity, you say that, brother, sister, you are to do this for Allah's pleasure and salvation, success in the hereafter, to be saved from the fire of hell. You should do for this thing, not for actually reward, fame, or actually any other thing. Third thing, you give them a spiritual prayer level. You can give them level 1 or level 0. Level 0 is to think about Allah is watching me once in every posture. And level 1 is to think about Allah's presence 3 times in every posture, like qiyam, ruku, qawma, sajda, prostration, the second sajda and in between. So if a person says, I have this level of presence anyway, that once in every posture, then you can give them actually level 1, actually, which is the next level, which is 3 times, remember. And number 4, you give them to practice upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah ﷺ, 3 to 5 acts. Let's say eating and drinking, you can give them 3, preferably 3, or if they are already doing on 3, you actually give them 5. So 3 sunnahs, that simple thing as washing hands, but do it with the intention of sunnah and the pleasure of Allah. Now it is different. Firstly, you did to get rid of germs. The difference, you want, purpose is to get rid of germs, and the person who is doing it for the pleasure of Allah. The one who is doing to get for cleanliness, and one who is getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So sunnahs of eating, washing hands, reciting Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, or Bismillah ala barakatillah, Bismillah as-salamu ala rasulillah, whichever dua, simple. And any other sunnah, eat with the right hand, read the dua after. So simple, so that it looks easy for the person. You are to make the deen and the path of Allah easier for the person. No, make it difficult. It's easy in such a state that you are only giving them the tongue part to control, while by principle, if they use their eyes, ears badly, the court still consider that that person is successful. Although they might be watching TV all day, but if they are controlling their tongue, the court consider they are successful. Although if they don't watch TV at all, that's good if they control other organs. But you don't want to put the burden of 7 organs on them, because they already had this and they were failing. If they could have controlled, they would have done up to now. Their age is 20, 30, 40, 50, and that's itself its evidence that they were not. So after Rasulullah from the teaching of Prophet ﷺ, in the light of teaching of Rasulullah ﷺ, the mashayikh, they given some personal advice for the progress on the course. Progress on the course. So that is relevant to everyone, really. Number 1, they should be advised to listen to the principles of tariq and start to listen to previous discourses of the teacher. Starting from the beginning, they should be advised to listen to the principles of the principles of tariq are on our website, zawiya.org. Because if you learn principles, then things become easy for you. If you learn how to add the formula, you can add anything. And if you haven't, then every time you have 15 plus 17, you have a problem. You'll take to the teacher. How much is 200 plus 300? You take to the teacher. 500 plus 300, you take to the teacher. Isn't that better? You learn the formula of adding and subtraction, that you will be able to solve many simple things yourself. Then there will be difficult equations, high level, PhD level, which you might not be able to do, but simple you will be able to do. So principles of the path to Allah, or principles of tariq, which means the path, are the formulas. Formulas are given so that you can solve many of the basic problems actually yourself. You don't have to come to the teacher or any. You don't have to ask anyone. So this person definitely needs this because he is new. So he should be advised to listen once in every week, principles of tariq. And also previous discourses of the teacher, previous lectures. Because don't go to the up-to-date lectures, because they might be at the level of the different level now. For example, a person who attends our this session, he really might would not understand what we've discussed. If he only listens to this lesson and misses the last eight, he will not really understand. So that is the example of people who are new or beginning, or they think they have not listened. They should listen to the lectures which are very old, 6-7 years old, because they will be the most relevant to you if you are on a beginning stage. And which are given now, they are relevant to the advanced people more. So you should go back. It's not like news every day. You have new news and you don't like to hear the yesterday's news, because this is knowledge of being. The when it was given, that it in a simple term, in the beginning, it was actually better for you if you are the beginning as well. It's like a baby who is 6 months, 5 months old. They want milk is given. When they grow older, solid food is given. When they grow more older, they start to eat fruits and vegetables, and then they grow more older, like adults, they eat other adult food and things. So now the teacher might be giving adult food and you are still a baby, you need milk, and you come and you put a kebab in your mouth, and you will be suffocated. They say it is very delicious and very energyful. I am being suffocated, my digestion system is not working. And well, it won't be, because actually you are spiritually a baby. So for you actually it is to listen to the very beginning ones, which was the milk for the baby. So you listen to that, you will benefit more. So people want update, what is the latest. It's not a model of phone that is going to become good and good. It is like the food for the baby. No matter, babies which are born now after 1,000 years, they still give milk. We don't say, well, humanity has been giving milk to babies for 5,000 years. Nowadays we start giving them samosas because now they are for 21st century babies. No, if they are babies, it doesn't matter they are born in 21st century, but they are born, they are young, they need milk only. So similarly, if you are spiritually born, reborn, and you do repentance, you need the basic discourses, and they will be the most beneficial for you. The other ones will be beneficial, but not to the extent as they mean. So this is number one advice. And number two, they should sit and go through the principles of Aqeedah and Fiqh which they are learning with family members, especially the women in their household. So the person who taken the tariq, he should go and discuss and rehearse and revise and teach as well principles of Aqeedah and Fiqh. Aqeedah means Aqeedah, and which also means the thirst developers, about Akhirah, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious people, how they live their lives. Because what is the reason? The reason is, firstly, it is your duty now to give dawah to your household. And women sometimes don't know simple masail, because they have not attended lectures and discourses, they don't know simple masail. So when you go through with them, firstly you are conveying the message, secondly it was your obligation to give the household that knowledge, and thirdly it will help you as well. Because if you want to go towards Medina Sharif and your wife is pulling you to go to Florida, it is a problem, because she has a different mindset and she has actually a different frequency and you are on a different one. You want to go toward righteousness and good places, and she wants to go to the worldly places because her mindset is different. So in order to help you, you have to help her. So that actually her mindset also, she also become one of those who seek the pleasure of Allah. She becomes your company in this journey. She accompanies you on this journey as well. Like she is accompanying you on the journey of life, in this life she also accompanies you in the journey to the pleasure of Allah. That will be a very good journey if you both can do that. So this is second thing you tell them. Because otherwise, if the environment is against them, they themselves will look the person who is cast out or who is alone, who is strange, and they'll have difficulties. So their family members anything. But the trap which you must not fall into is that if they don't listen, don't stop conveying the message to other family members, children, brothers, sisters, relatives, cousins. Because there will be in between, you see, there will be Abu Jahals in between as well, and Abu Lahabs as well, and Fir'aun as well. There will be these people mentalities as well who don't want to actually listen. Like Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's son, most of the sons, all of his sons listened and obeyed, they were very obedient. One of his sons didn't. So you shouldn't stop because my son is not listening to me. How can I give da'wah to others? This is a shaitanic idea, which is the prophets, they worked against it. They said that no, if they are not listening to us, people will take to the next people. If the people of place where you live, people don't listen to you. Like Rasulullah ﷺ lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he left there. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left his house. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam left his locality. Hazrat Lut alayhi salam left his locality. Hazrat Salih alayhi salam left his locality. And most of the Anbiya alayhi salam even left their places if the people are not listening. They to convey the message to the others. And some. So, you should give da'wah, but don't become God to give da'wah. Remember, you are still a servant. To become a God when being da'wah is, why this person is not changing? He must change. He must change. That is to actually assume the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you don't have. Which Allah Azzawajal even didn't give an Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, because they all wished very eagerly that all their ummah enters in Islam, and most of the time it didn't. They wished all their family comes into Islam, and sometimes it didn't. So this didn't happen with Anbiya and Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and awliya Allah. Why would it happen with you? So it doesn't matter if your wife is fashionable and she is without hijab, she walks in the street, not listen to you, you say to her, it shouldn't stop you of practicing yourself and giving da'wah to others. Like Lut alayhi salam's wife, she didn't become Muslim. She would tell the secrets of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam to her family. And that's why she was punished with them as well. These are very basic things which people don't understand, and shaitan is using them. No, look at your own house. Apna ghar to dekho pehle. Oh, look at your own son. Oh, look at your own wife. Then tell us. Well, who said them that this is the way? Is this person is objecting our own Anbiya alayhi salam unknowingly? Ye banda to sare nabiyon par itraz kar raha hai. Ke unke apne ghar walon ne baat nahi mani, to dusron ko kyun da'wat dete rahe? That their own household didn't listen, why they were giving da'wat to others? So this person unknowingly is not objecting on you, he is objecting, putting an raising objection against many of the Anbiya and the prophets and messengers. Because they use the same methodology which you are using. So this is the second part of the advice. The third part of the advice is to create a timetable in order to perform one's amal with steadfastness. Having a set time and a backup time plan if one fails to complete the first attempt. Imagine, this advice from the in the light of teachings of Rasulullah sallam, given by the mashayikh and the people of the tariq, that create a timetable. Create a timetable in order to perform one's amals. Look at the countries, how they run colleges, universities, government departments, even prime ministers. They all have timetables. And we are the most intelligent people who don't need timetable. Prime Minister, President need timetable. Generals of army, and they need timetable. And we are so wise and so good planners that we can do things ad hocly. And that, I am saying, as they say, that failing to plan is planning to fail. A person who doesn't make a timetable, he's already planned to actually miss things. He's already planned to slacken and be lazy. Then he will actually fail. Where he has made a plan to failure, he will get what he has planned for. He has not planned for success. And it is said the timetable, how you make the timetable, perform one amal with steadfastness, meaning continuity. Things will be up and down. It doesn't matter. Someone you will be feeling good, not feeling good. There can be difficult circumstances in the family, financial crisis, social crisis, husband and wife quarreling with each other. But it should never lead to stopping the amal. What our people do when something happens, a worldly affliction, first thing is their relationship with Allah is affected. They start to leave prayers. They start actually to slacken on the amal. Oh, today my throat is not very well, so I'll be on holiday from prayers. Today actually I'm not feeling well. A person still going to toilet, he's still eating 2 kilos of flour actually every day. But then actually for doing actually something which is really beneficial for him in the hereafter or her, he is slackened. So this shows that the person really is not enlightened. He is in darkness. He's made shaitan his friend. He's made laziness his friend. He's made procrastination his friend. And he is darkened person. He is not enlightened, but darkened person inside. He doesn't have light. So that's why he should carry on. Making a plan, having a set time and a backup time. Look, the mashayikh are giving the guidelines that even have a backup, a plan B, like the English they say. When you always only have plan A and that fails, you are lost. You only have one defense and then finish. Look at the countries, how may they defend? In armies, they have few lines of defense. When they are in war with someone, they made first line of defense. This is first line of defense when our aeroplanes or planes will actually guard. The radar is guarding. Is there any other thing coming from the other enemy? Second line of defense, there might be actually tanks and artillery. Third, one line of defense might be the spies which the army have sent. And then there will be few lines of defense back actually, that if one fails, one set of army fails, the others will stand. If they say fail, then contingency plan, emergency plan they have. Then only countries are defended. Easier to defend the countries, difficult to defend the heart, the country of the heart. It's easier to defend country, difficult to defend the heart. Because actually this is a land where enemies have access to, where shaitan has access to. One enemy is already living in the land, spy, the nafs is already there to help shaitan. It is always inviting shaitan, come, come, come and help me to get my desires as well. Both of us will be happy. So in computers as well, people who like the government departments, they have computer technology. They say that it's not about you have a password only. They say the security is about the layers of security. How many layers of security you have to access, let's say, any government department, any sensitive information. They say it's not about you only have one password and very good password, it can't be cracked, etc. No, the government, the security experts say it's not about having, no matter how good one security defense lines you have, or password you have, they say security is about the layers, how many layers you have. It's not about how much actually the one is effective. Because one can be ineffective at any time. So if you have layers of security, like for example you access your bank account, they ask your date of birth, then they might ask you the last digit of your security code, they might ask you account number. You see, it's their layers of security. If they only had bank account, and anyone can get your bank account, for example, and it will be easy for them to get your money. If they were only date of birth, anyone who knows date of birth, so they made it, you see, 3-4 different layers, only then you can access even your own account. That's how you encounter the intruder, so that you stop them actually coming into your account, who shouldn't be. So similarly, here Prophet ﷺ, referring to the importance of the time, and the Mashaykh saying that set a time and a backup time plan if one fails to complete the first attempt. So you have plan A for everything, like when you are going to do your zikr, and when you are going to pray, when you are going to do this thing. Plan B means that if emergency happens, what will I do? If actually a guest comes, what will I do then? If my wife says, no, you go shopping now, we must go shopping, what you are going to do? What is the solution then? So you should have a backup plan, so that the plan B comes into action. So all countries, they have, for example, when they are invaded, they have plans to defense and they have plans that can come. America, for example, have a parallel government system, full government system. That if even the existing government is taken over by an enemy or actually an intruder or another country, that they come and they take all the government or the parliament or the congress members, all actually the president, the vice president and the generals of the army. If they are all, they actually fail, they are overtaken, they have a parallel army, a parallel prime minister, a parallel or president, vice president, which will actually run the government, which will come into action. So imagine, it's very far-fetched, it's a very powerful country. In the sense, technology, everything, they have the army, they have the technological advancement, but still maybe many weak countries don't have this system. But they have this system to actually, just to duplicate with how the system is running. So if everything goes wrong, there is a full system which can just tap in and the country will be running and will be defended as actually it was before. So that's to give a lesson to a person who thinks they are very pious, very powerful, they are a person of taqwa, they are a person of ihsan, they are a person of vision, they are a person of having good dream, or they have very great amount of knowledge, they should be more cautious than even actually the weak ones. Because they are more target for shaitan than the weak ones. Shaitan says the weak ones, they are anyway going to hell, they are just doing a sightseeing, and they are going to end up in hell anyway. So it doesn't bother them very much. But he says one person who is a staunch enemy of his, and he never obeys shaitan, and he is taking hundreds or thousands or millions of people to Jannah with him, he says, this person is my target. So all his plans and cunning and crafty shaitanic ideas, they come against that person. All the time they are in action. So that person should be more vigilant. The more pious the more you become, the more vigilant you should. If you are not, you will finish. Simple as that. You see, in worldly terms, these people who become famous, like Prime Minister, he has security. I don't have security. Why? Because he is an important person now. The pop stars, when they are not famous, they don't have security. When they have become famous, football players, they have private security. Why? Now they think they are a target. So when you become spiritually famous, or you may say in the sight of Allah, in the sight of angels, you become spiritually strong, a person of taqwa, you need extra security than even other people. So other person, weak person might actually wander around with lone women sometime, it might not affect so much, they might be destroyed, shaitan might think he's already on this path of destruction because he's drinking alcohol, so he might not be bothered. But for you to be in contact with email with a sister under the shadow of that you are giving her dawah to Islam and tariq might be the missile of your destruction. You are thinking very good, I am giving this sister dawah of Islam and dawah of tariq and email contact. For the person who is at higher level, he should be even more cautious. He should be even more cautious actually than actually not to do it without permission or with the presence of another person so that they can do. So the normal person should not come in seclusion with the women, and this person should not even contact women actually in that scenario. Unless they have actually been trained to that level, still they should be conscious. There was one Buzurg, who I accompanied for some time, 5 or 6 months or so, he had a matab, you may say, like he was a physician, like a homeopathic physician. He did actually practice this herbal medicine. Then he had written very clearly on his shop that no alone woman, patient, female patient, shouldn't come alone without mahram. If a woman would not listen or would not read that and they accidentally would come in the shop, he would not even say, sister, you go out, it's not allowed, etc., etc. As soon as the woman entered, this buzurg, who was a spiritual person, a person of taqwa, he would immediately run out and stand in the road, in between people. Why? He said, I don't trust my nafs, don't I trust Anurag Dasrishtan. So that woman would come out, the doctor is gone, what I am doing here? So she'll come out and then in presence of people he will say that read the board and you shouldn't come without actually accompanied mahram. Then he would go in. So our people think the shaitan misguides them. They think, I have become a maulana, I have become a sheikh, I become a spiritual, I am on the tariq. So, quote, quote, now I am, mashallah, saved person, I should be shlaken, everyone is my sister, and women are my mothers, and the others, the younger ones are daughters. Well, that is all shaitanic idea. Because your sisters are only the mahram, they are sisters in Islam, but not sisters for communications, and actually meeting lonely, and private meeting, and discussing things. So, just giving you an example of actually things how to buy. So this is advice. Number four, advice which is given regarding the timetable, shaitan plans, but we should plan ahead of shaitan. So it is not shaitan is given the super mind and we are given the donkey mind. We are actually the honored creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan has a brain, but it's not like he has a super brain where we can't compete with him at all. We've lost it on the psychological war people lose in front of the shaitan. Like they see shaitan or hear about, they think we're finished now. Hands up. A very person like, it's like a person who is 7 foot tall, very powerful, but psychologically he thinks the other one is very strong. And he might actually lose the fight even before starting. Because he says, I've lost it. So you should think shaitan is not a super creation of Allah. He is the one of the debased one. Yes, he has a mind, he has an intellect, he uses the intellect, but you can also plan ahead of him. You can plan more than him. Because you are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, superior creation, human being, plus you have a guidance. You can plan. So plan ahead of him, rather doing things ad hocly, haphazardly. Number four, the zikr and the sheets go hand in hand. Explain to them, the zikr and the sheets, they go hand in hand. They are like the wings. It can't be that you're not doing zikr and you'll be able to do the sheet. You're able to practice the tongue because you need energy. It's like a tongue is, let's say, the tongue of flesh, and energy which comes from the vitamins, they are very related. If you become so weak, like I said yesterday, you can't move your tongue. Why you can't move your tongue? Because you don't have energy, you've not taken any food. You can't move. Similarly, spiritually, if you don't take the spiritual food, you won't be able to move your tongue away from bad speech. Simple as that. Because simply, you can't do it. Why? You don't have the energy to actually move it away. So the zikr and the sheets go hand in hand. If one stops either of those, it is as though one has spiritually stopped traveling on the path. If one has stopped zikr or actually pressing the sheet, you are still now there. You stop. No journey is carrying on. Rather, sometime U-turn actually takes place. So if one stops, one falls, and one should always get up and continue on his journey. So if one stops, this means one has fallen. But it doesn't mean one has been destroyed, is finished. No. Not getting up is the destruction. Falling is not the destruction. Not getting up is the destroy, which will destroy you. Girne se banda tabah nahi hota, na utne se tabah hota hai. Gunah se banda tabah nahi hota, toba na karne se tabah hota hai. A person never have been punished because of sins. People have always been punished for not repenting. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ, whoever won't repent, whoever won't leave sin, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, these are the zalimun. So there is a hint there, so who is the sinner then? This means the sinner is a lesser degree of a zalim. The zalim really is who don't repent, who don't turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By just sinning you don't become damned. By just sinning you don't become damned. Look, Shaitan did a great sin, but Allah Azza wa Jal gave him quite an ample opportunity. Ya Iblis, why you have done this? What stopped you from doing it? This is the different verses of the Quran. What stopped you? So there was quite a long conversation which takes place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Iblis, why did you not do the sajda? What stopped you of prostrating in front of Adam? Is it that you have developed arrogance, or you just want to be rebellious? أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him hints, this lanati now, at that time, before he was a good person, how Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy is trying to save him, giving him hints that he can turn back. Like Adam alayhi salam, he could also say, Allah, I have actually done a mistake, forgive me. Astakbarta, istakbarta, am kunta min al-aalin. Have you developed self-likeness and arrogance, O Iblis? You've been quite good servant. Am kunta min al-aalin. Are you from who just want to be rebellious for nothing? Is it self-likeness? If he would have asked, oh Allah, yes, I have this disease of self-likeness, please cure me. Do my tazkiyah, you are my Lord, I will do whatever you say. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Iblis, ma mana kan tasjuda lima amartu. What stopped you from obeying my order? And I am your Lord. Ya Iblis, I am your Lord who has given a command. Why you have not following my command? What's wrong with you? Is it you developed some disease in you? Some disease has come in you? Of takabbur? Or rebelliousness? Why is it? Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking. So Iblis. And this giving opportunity to him if he wanted to turn. So he did not really become damned because of not doing the sajda, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was still giving him opportunity. He became condemned and cursed because he did not do tawbah. So now he uses the same tactic for us as well. When we committed bad things, zina, we think we've done with now. Finished. We are finished off. Well, no, you are not finished off. You will be finished off if you don't repent from it. Because I am saying to you, no one has been punished because of sins. Everyone has been punished because of not doing tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal gave 900 years to some people to repent. To some people 50, 60 years, all these nations of the world and ummahs of prophets. Imagine how long time they had. If Allah Azza wa Jal want to punish immediately with the sin, they would have been actually even punished in the very beginning when the prophets announced. But even the prophets, they also became agitated with them in the sense they were not listening, but they continued to hundreds and hundreds of years. So we should take this wisdom of Quran and this hidden mercy of Allah, this hidden compassion, which is still compassionate when even the person is sinning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that mercy is still for that person. But it's all come into activation when a person really repents. So understand the relationship of sin and repentance, destruction, and when a person is not destroyed. Guna karne se banda tabah nahi hota, toba na karne se tabahi aati hai. بڑے سے بڑا بھی گناہ ہو جائے تباہی نہیں, توبہ نہ کرنے سے تباہی. اس لیے small sin or big sin, irrelevant in the sense if you do tawbah, mashallah, you are actually a forgiven person. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. And another advice, keep contact with the teacher and update them on their struggles and state. This shall be done at least every 1 or 2 months, whatever means letter or whatever means that the seeker has. One can contact through email if they are living far away in other countries, phone or in person or by any other means, letter, etc. That's actually also a word of advice for them. That when something is going wrong, after they have tried their best, but things are going wrong, then they should definitely be in touch for prescription. Not to say, I'm not doing my zikr. Well, shall I do instead of you? Well, this is not actually a problem. The problem is that I am trying to, my tongue is not moving. Yes, that can be solved. I am trying to do my zikr, shaitan is stopping forcefully, that can be a problem. So, prescription is for the person who has caught an illness and who is just lazy not to eat. Not to eat. He goes to a doctor, I am very ill. Why? I'm not bothered eating, it wastes too much time. Well, he will say then, there is the door, goodbye. Because there are many other people who are much serious condition than that, who just can't be bothered eating. So, contacting the teacher when one struggles and updating one's state as well. So, with the teacher, there are two word relationships. Ittila and ittiba. Ittila means informing your own state and difficulty, and then he will prescribe. Your responsibility is get that prescription and ittiba and obey that. That is the relationship. Only two words, remember. Ittila and ittiba. Finish. If a person is not doing one of these things, he will not succeed. If he is doing informing the teacher, I have this difficulty, shaitan is very powerful, nafs is very powerful, I have this. But he is not obeying the prescription, he is failure as well. It's like a person who goes to a doctor, tells him all kinds of disease, but when he gives him cure, he doesn't take it. So both things are necessary, but one shouldn't come and say, I'm not bothered about doing something. If you are not, if you can't do, if you're not, if you lost motivation, lost morale, and you don't feel like doing things, you feel like doing bad things, then the solution is to engage in the thirst developers. Attend the company of the teacher. Attend his gathering after gathering, and read about Anbiya, read about Awliya Salihin. Remember death, go to the grave and cry on the grave. So then you should go to these things, so that your level of energy, level of morale and level of courage again builds to walk on the path. The teacher is there to cure and to remove obstacles. He is not there to remove you when you become obstacle yourself. Because the person says, I don't do it, he himself is an obstacle. So the teacher is supposed to remove the obstacles from which come from the outside. Not actually that when you become your obstacle yourself, and when you become your enemy yourself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said regarding these people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ. Allah is not going to change these people until they change within themselves. Meaning, if they themselves are the obstacle, Allah will not change them. If they are too lazy to just to eat the food in the tray, then they deserve dying. So Mashaykh, Anbiya al-Islam have done such a great amount of mena and actually mushakka, the hard effort and struggle, that even people are ridiculing them, like Hazrat Musa al-Islam, 40 years migrating and running and roaming around the desert. Hazrat Isa al-Islam, Jesus Christ, ridiculed, not being listened, laughed at, mocked. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in spite of those things, they provided you the food to salvation. And now the mashayikh, what they do is, they put the food, the apples, the orange juice, the pizzas, the samosas, the kebabs, the chips and the fish and the beans on a tray, that is the tariq. Tariq is the tray. Tariq is the tablecloth. They present in front of you and say, come brother, here, take this, this is for you. And this is for you. This is for you, and this you should take every day, twice you eat food, come with us. We'll give you food, you can even eat at your own house. And then that person says, oh, comes back, I can't really eat it. This is really actually foolishness. That person really deserves to actually be dying, starved to death. So this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm not going to change this person. Who is not, my Anbiya alayhi salam, their blood was flowing because of conveying the message, and this person is not bothered to just to take that food which they have given. So it is as though the awliya and Anbiya, that they were dying, but because of, let's say a person is dying, and they don't take food for themselves, they are struggling with the enemy, with shayateen, because these people who harmed Rasulullah, they were shayateen. They were the representatives of shayateen. So it's like a person or a father or a family member or mother who is wounded by the striking, by the injuries of enemies, and in spite of those injuries, they don't take food for themselves. They are still actually saving the food between their arms and in their clothes. That my children, my babies, they need this food. But the enemy is showering spears at their hands. Their body is being wounded. It's bleeding. It's being cut. And they are being harmed day and night. They are starving. Like Rasulullah SAW starved months and months. But the mother is preserving the food with her chest, that is, she is hiding it. No, I must reach with this food to my children. And when she reaches her children, she gives them the food and dies thereafter, because she was too wounded to be alive now. So imagine about the sacrifice of this mother or father who traveled and got so much food and with them and saved. It's like we really how Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala went in Karbala, and Imam Hussain asked him to fetch water from the Karbala for the children of Imam Hussain and children of his. So he went there, his one arm is cut. He preserves the mushk. He preserves the mushk. But the shalom, please do not give me the radio today. We don't need. Okay, just leave that. He preserves the mushk of the water with the other hand, the bag which contained water. When the second hand is cut, he's still preserving the water. His all both arms, but he brings that some amount of water, tries to bring back to Imam Hussain and the children and women, and but he dies in the way. A greater sacrifice than that, even Anbiya al-Islam and Imam Hussain and Hazrat Abbas رضي الله تعالى himself has done, that they come to get the water of salvation for peoples hereafter, the water of life, water of eternal life. But when they try to take this water to people, enemies come in between, shayateen come in between. Please do not look at your mobile phones, don't look at anything, because you'll miss the lesson and whatever. And don't bring any phones, rather, actually, here. So, when these people, they remember, although I am talking, but I have attention towards every one of you. It's as though individually I am speaking to. What you are thinking at, what you are looking at, what you are moving, when you move your glasses, when you move your mobile phone, when you check your mobile phone, which call has come. And I am aware of that, mostly. Actually, so be attentive. Don't think that I'm speaking and in the air and you're sitting somewhere there. No, I am looking at you, I'm aware of you, because I'm speaking to you to your hearts, not actually to your bodies. So try actually to at least control the bodies. So the Anbiya alayhi salam, and especially the awliya Allah, they try to take this water of life actually through their people, through their ummatis and awliya, through their murideen and salikeen, and in between the shayateen, shaitanic people come, they wound them very much, they harm them very much. But somehow, even though in the last throes of their last breath, they somehow manage to convey or to take the food and water to people, and then they pass away. Imagine then this sacrifice. A mother who's traveled for 1,000 journeys bringing food for their children, and soon as she enters the house, when she has delivered the food and say, children, I have actually got the food for your salvation so you can live, but her time expires, she actually is veiled from the dunya. So 100 times more is the example of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba and Awliya Allah, that how they are doing. So shouldn't those children now take the food and appreciate very much that what their mother have done, what a prophet have done for the ummah, what a wali has done for the students, what a sahabi has done for the tabi'in and ummah. And if they are such lazy people that they say, okay, our mother have died in bringing this food and she was wounded, her hands were cut, she was bleeding, her head is injured, but I am not really bothered, I have difficulty in eating this food. And that person dies, and that person really deserves punishment of hellfire. Because all the main and all the work and effort has been done by the Anbiya and Sahaba and the Awliya. Now the tariq is be presented on plate, on a tray for you. So don't come into that mindset, become lazy like people actually just to eat. So this shall be done at least 1 to 2 months, whatever means one has. For example, you said that with the teacher. And the seeker should be steadfast, and as I said, ittila and ittiba. Other is the advice given is, once the seeker has progressed to an extent, guidance shall be given, but every seeker is all different and shall need different prescription. So once the seeker has progressed to an extent, guidance, more guidance should will be given to him. He should be told that then you will be different than everyone. Then we cannot give 100 people a collective guidance. If it have to be an individual or 2-3 people who are of the same nature. So then the prescription will be different. This is only for the general people who are new on the course, as above. So people who just started the tariq, that guidance is for them. After that they will have different needs, different weaknesses and strength. Other guidance, O my child, a time shall come, the Mashaykh actually said, that when you will be, you shall present this course or this tariq to many, many people, masses, to people of the world of different countries, different language, so you learn and practice so you may excel to the closeness of Allah and the closeness of Rasulullah. Because this is something of water which everyone needs, is in need of. It's only a matter of building thirst in people, and then there will be flocks and flocks of people who want to achieve. Human being naturally wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also said that you should also learn the other language if you go in other countries, like speaking in Arabic, basic message to convey in Arabic, and basic message if any other country a person is actually living. So regarding the initiation process, one should recite these amals, which was we said Allahu Ya Aziz Ya Ahad. Recite the amal before you initiate the seeker on any sheets or zikr. So every time a zikr is given, every time if a sheet is given, or one should recite these azkars, Ya Allahu and Ya Aziz and Ya Ahad, 3 times. And you should also read the amals before you start the tariq halqa. So if you are doing the tariq halqa, meaning introduction to the tariq, you should also do these amal, as we've said. This will help you to attach the seeker's hearts to the remembrance of Allah. Then their hearts will be in the remembrance of Allah. Now another example is given, which is very, very important. The sheets and amal shall be the bolts which keep their hearts connected. So imagine what's like, we have bolts to actually form different things to keep. Bridges are kept together with bolts. Many of these pillars and the mechanism of building is kept intact through bolts. So the Mashayikh from the teachings of Prophet ﷺ said, the sheets, the practices of organs, sheets and amal, the zikr and muraqabah, shall be the bolts which keep their hearts connected. It is up to the seeker, it's up to them to tighten and strengthen their closeness of Allah. So the initiator, the shaykh, the teacher, the person who initiates, he only puts the bolts on the right things to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is now up to you or the seeker or the person who wants to tighten it. They can tighten it. If they do it every day, it's as though they are tightening their relationship with Allah, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. So it's up to them to tighten and strengthen their closeness to Allah. We are only the connectors. You are only the connectors. You are only the connectors. They are the maintainers or the breakers. The choice lies with them. They can maintain those bolts or they can break those bolts. It's up to them. They still have the choice. It's not that they have achieved salvation now. They are in Jannah. So the tariq and the sheets, and they are like sheets, and the zikr are bolts which actually connects you, your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It attaches. It's up to the seeker how much they tighten. If they tighten more and more and more, their hearts will be attached. If they don't tighten, it will be a loose screw. It will just fall with the wind. A wind of looking at women will come, and there it goes. A slight movement of hasad, slight movement of riya, anything will come, and it will finish. Because the bolt is just now hanging on the edge now. It's not, it's loose, it's also on the edge. It can easily fall. So it's better to do your zikr every day and practice and take the sheet every day. It's as though you are strengthening the screws. You are going into more, actually to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the after every section, when you cover the stages of the tariq, the preconditions, the stages of the course, the four objectives, take questions which they may have about the path. Have regular breaks during that if they require it. Check their state, check their mind, do not let it drift into other than the remembrance of Allah. So maybe you are sitting and in a parrot fashion, you are doing tariq with them and they are actually sightseeing the world somewhere. So after every 5, 10 minutes, ask them questions. For example, what is the purpose of actually existence? What we have said to you, how does death help you to actually strengthen? So ask them questions every section, and also try to have breaks like we covered in this in 8-9 sessions. So you are covering, try to cover in 1-2 hours, so maybe you need 1 or 2 breaks. And after every section, ask the person a question to not make them embarrassed, but just you are making them know how much they understand, and then to fill in the gaps, actually. Now, lastly, what a person should do during the tariq halqa and prescription, is that you should pray like you prayed Salatul Hajat in the beginning. Last, when you finish giving dhikr, initiation or tariq halqa, or actually the teaching of tariq, you should pray Salatul Shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance, and pray for their success. So after immediately or thereafter, whenever you get opportunity, very soon, you finish the halaqa, you finish the bayan, whatever, you firstly pray 2 rakat nafal of shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given you the opportunity to serve His deen and this blessing to initiate or actually teach the person the path to wisdom. And for guidance and pray for their success and pray for the success of that brother. So this is like Salatul Shukr and Haja, you are praying success for that brother. Oh Allah, I have done whatever I could. Now you actually give him steadfastness, strengthen his faith and help him to come over obstacle. You do dua for them. So wherever you initiate, whenever you do dua for them as well. Oh Allah, the people I have told, people I have initiated, give them the strength. So you do Salatul Shukr to thank that Allah has privileged you of this duty which even Anbiya alayhi salam only actually did. Second is to pray Salatul Tawbah. 2 rakat Salatul Tawbah in state of repentance for the imperfection of carrying out the task of this initiation process. So if you do Salatul Tawbah, a person is never able to teach the person how he is supposed to teach the path of Allah, because this was the duty of prophets and they did it in the most perfect way, and we are just like a nursery students. So imagine the person who are professors in university, how they do things, how they teach language, or how they teach language, or how they actually train people in different exercises. And we are like actually nursery children. We've learned few basic things, and inshallah, but we are trying to do our best, and that's all. So Salatul Tawbah, to ask forgiveness from any shortcoming which you have done. And also, because one can never appreciate what blessing one has received for carrying out these responsibilities. So this was the task of Anbiya, as this person have done, so one can never appreciate. He will be surprised at the reward he gets in the hereafter in paradise of actually doing this responsibility. That is why it is said, next level than the Jannat of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, it will be of those people who invite people towards Allah, who give dawah to people, who invite people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. They will be the most closest people to prophets of Allah in the hereafter as well. Why? Because their actions imitate them the most. Because these Anbiya were steadfast on the deen and they conveyed the deen. These people stay steadfast up to their level and they conveyed the deen. So these are the people who resemble them the most, and they will be the most closest to them on that day as well. So one can never appreciate the blessing one has received for carrying out these responsibilities. One should always be in the state of helplessness and ask for the mercy of Allah in all his affairs. So after doing all, your helplessness, your poverty, your knowledgelessness and your inability to ask Allah for forgiveness, and that I, Allah, only rely on your mercy for myself and others as well. You are the guide only. And then at the end, the Prophet ﷺ, to the teaching of the Mashaykh, he did the dua for people. He said that may whoever will with permission teach this path, may you become my reflection, my words, my speech and my perfume. Look at the word. May you become my reflection, my words, my speech and my perfume, my shadow, my body and my soul. That's how Rasulullah ﷺ wants us to be. He says he's doing dua. He said, I want you to become my word, that when you speak, your speech is like my speech. When you actually walk around the world, you can be seen, you are my reflection. Through you, I can be recognized that he is the follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah is a Muhammadi. He is not a shaitani, iblisi. And he says, my perfume, My perfume means that Rasulullah's aura which he had around him due to piety and righteousness and closeness of Allah. If you have closeness to Rasulullah, you will also have his reflection of his blessings around you as well. My perfume, my shadow, my body and my soul act like actually that you are a shadow of mine. Act like that your body also is used in the same way as I use my body. And use the same tranquility of the soul which I had, you also get a drop of that ocean. And then he said, may you live in my presence and bring the ummah to my arms, and may you bring the smiles of all your mashayikh on the army. So this is the dua of Rasulullah, and whoever will carry out these duties, inshallah, he will receive the effect of that dua. So for today, inshallah, hopefully regarding the Tariq Halqa, we have briefly covered it over 8-9 days, mashallah. But continuously we'll be teaching this until our end of our lives, especially through the Thursday majalis, Thursday gathering which we have in detail, different dimensions. But now because more and more people are eager to learn, to take the course, so I want more and more of us actually should be able to do it in the most better way. And inshallah, there will be a barakah and blessing. Now, if you have any questions, you can ask. A copy of this initiation process, how fully a person needs to initiate, inshallah, a copy will be given to you, where I have been reading, slightly changed, but actually it will be given to you. If you leave your email, it can be sent to you through email or printing as a gift from the Mashayikh, as well as actually it will be a memory for you how to actually go through the full process, where I have been reading from. Maybe many of the examples are not there, you need to listen to the discourses for them. But the main body of the process of initiation is actually there. So tell the brother your email, especially people who are interested to learn the tariq and be steadfast on the, by themselves, then inshallah they will be sent a copy to them. Walaikum assalam. Remember the regarding Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fisani and the other great Mashayikh said that regarding spirituality and the path to Allah, these Mashayikh and Awliya Salihin who are not Fuqaha and scholars, they should be only followed to the relevant to the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said even in fiqh and legal issues and like rulings, Hazrat Mujaddid said, we won't follow Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi and Hazrat Bayazid Bustami. There we will follow Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Muhammad and Imam Abu Yusuf. So regarding Sharia matters, matter of Hadith, matter of Sharia, matter of tafsir of Quran. It will be the relevant people who expertise, who have expertise in that field. The Shaykh, if there is any, who knows path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his aqwal, let aside about the fiqh or the hadith or tafsir or aqidah, I'm saying that they are different people categories. But even regarding the spiritual field, his only those things will be followed which are in compliance with Sharia. Because Sharia means actually the saying of Rasulullah sallam, the law of Prophet ﷺ, how he understood the path to Allah. So no matter this person, how much he is greater, his thing or teaching cannot be listened to. But sometimes ulama have different view. If fuqaha have different view on something, let's say like you're saying about mortgage, and this person also, the shaykh also follows one view, that can be possible. But the students to think that they are going to ask the masala fiqh from them, if they don't understand the Quranic tafsir, they are going to ask from them, they ask Quranic about tajweed, this is wrong. He is not all in one. There were only few people who were all in one, and one of them is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter even Sahaba had different specialties. That is a mistake people do. They have a shaykh or spiritual, now everything they'll be asking. That's why I discourage you that don't ask me fiqh question. You can ask any scholar, because the fiqh is to come actually, it's nothing new. It is to actually be, it's written in books. If you ask about hadith, ask about the muhaddisin and shariheen of the time. They'll tell you better. Ask about the tafsir, about to them. Ask about the tajweed, to them. I myself don't have knowledge about that. I say, I have ABC knowledge about the path to Allah. So I don't claim I have infinite or very great amount of knowledge I know. But other fields, I don't know, I say. Nor I am scholar, nor I am a qari, nor I am such a hafiz, which I should be. But regarding the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know the outlines of it. I can tell a person that at least he can, inshallah, if he follows, he can be guided. And in that, if people ask, I do answer in the teaching, in the light of Quran and Sunnah. So, that is the mistake which people do. And that's what they've done with this brother, mashallah, doing a great service to Islam, Dr. Zakir Naik. He's a very good person in the sense that he defends Islam's boundaries between where Islam meets other religions, between like Kufr and Islam, between Christianity and Islam, between Judaism and Islam, between Hinduism and Islam. He's studied himself and mashallah, he can answer them, defend Islam. But what the mistake he has fallen into and what people has fallen into regarding him, once he has the experts, they say, for example, let's say that, he remembers verses of Quran, the numbers, surah number 9 and verse number 138. Then they become impressed, and really the hafiz of Quran who recited the Taraweeh here, he remembers every word of Quran, and Dr. Zakir Naik can't be a hafiz. So he has more memory, he remembers every word of the verse, let aside the verse numbers. If you want to learn the verse number, you only might have to learn 7,000 or so, less than 7,000. Over 6,000, less than 7,000, due to the difference of some people include Bismillah in it and other things. But to learn the Quran by heart, you have to learn hundreds and thousands of words. So that is nothing to be impressed of. If Shaitan has a good memory, it doesn't mean that he is a scholar or he is a person of that. So to remember these words, but it is good to remember. But I am saying the Huffaz, they have more memory even. They've learnt more, they've learnt each Zabar and Zair. And you heard how, mashallah, our Huffaz, they correct each other. Even actually the difference between Ha and Kha, they don't let the pass the other one. So their memory is quite very, very sharp. The Dr. Zakir Naik's memory can not come near to them, because he's not a Hafiz basically. He can't do hifz, that's his memory. But a person can learn something from through memory, through practice, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verses of Quran. And when you're saying same thing again and again. So our muhaddiseen and many scholars, now as well, they have hundreds of times more memory than him or any other person. People who learned 100,000 ahadith by actually heart. There are such people living now. that aside the Quran, they've learned 100,000 ahadith. So he's doing a good service, and if he keeps in that service, that is very good. But what people have done it, when he comes on the TV, they've actually assumed him a scholar one in all. So well, they will ask a masla of hadith from them, they'll ask a masla of aqidah from him, they'll ask a masla of fiqh from him, they've asked masla of tafsir. That's the mistake which people are doing, they should not ask. And the mistake he is doing, he should not answer, because he should say, I am not a scholar, I am studied Islam and comparative religion. You can, I'm student of comparative religion, just ask me question regarding that, and I'll answer. Other scholars will actually. So that is why he's doing a very good service, but because of this mistake, one or two things he said regarding some salah issues, some fiqh issues, some aqidah issues regarding Yazid, is because of this mistake. He should have considered, a person is asking about Yazid and he's like, I have nothing to do with Yazid. He is actually a person who passed, who didn't do good things, but asked me about Christianity and Islam, Judaism and Islam, and Hinduism and Islam, or any objection on Islam, and I'll answer you. So the people have taken him actually wrongly as one in all scholar. And because the people, millions of people said this, so he thought I might be one of them. So this can just come in the thought of assumption can come. He said, I might, yes, if people are asking, I might have that knowledge. But for that knowledge, you need authentication, you need asnad, you need sanad, chain of narration, ijazat regarding hadith, Quran, fiqh, and tasawwuf, and tazkiyah. A person who is not authority on tazkiyah, who doesn't know himself about tazkiyah, who has given him authority to ask question or answer question regarding tazkiyah? A person who is not authority on tafsir, who has given him authority to answer question regarding tafsir? So, the thing which we are saying is right, that take from everyone which he is expert of only, and rely on the right people for right things. So if you want comparative religion question answered, MashaAllah, Dr. Zakir Naik, wonderful man and wonderful knowledge, he will tell you, and you can actually relate his knowledge and defend Islam. But if you want to ask a masla of hadith, you go to a muhaddis. If you want to a masla of fiqh, you go to a mufti, a faqih, which is pious as well. Similarly, of a spiritual path, if you want to ask masla of spiritual path, you should actually go to a spiritual master. As I said, but there are few people who are all in one as well. There have been such scholars who have expertise in every knowledge of the deen of Islam. And they can give a view. So they are rightful to give a view. Others, they should abstain. They should refer to them actually, if they ask. So no murid or seeker should follow their sheikh or teacher, whoever it is, if they know they are instructing something against the Sharia, against the Sunnah, and they will not be rewarded, they will be punished severely, because everyone's obedience is conditional. Everyone's obedience is conditional, except Allah and His Messenger. Except Allah and His Messenger, there is a condition, provided we follow the mashayikh, the ulama, only up to the extent they are in compliance with obedience of Allah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallam. Once they start to differ, the condition is that then they should be actually not followed. They themselves actually should be excused. Well, salam, Shaykh. So I even don't like this word that you call Shaykh. Shaykh is a very high word to use for very pious and righteous people. I am your brother, mashallah. When we read Salatul Hajj to call people to the course, is one Salatul Hajj sufficient for more than one person? And do you have to read the Arabic dua, or could you just make your own dua for help if you don't know the dua? So let's say you are initiating or doing halqa with 10 people. You only need to do one Salatul Hajj. For one session, one Salatul Hajj. It covers all. Preferably you should do dua in Arabic. If not, you can do it in your own language, the meaning of that dua, asking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like it's been said. Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Any special specific dua in Arabic for the Salatul Tawbah?
For Salatul Tawbah, brother is asking, is there any specific dua? There are many duas taught by Rasulullah sallam to do istighfar, and they can be read in after Salatul Tawbah. Plus it is really your own helplessness and sinfulness and shame and all the things which come from your heart, really, that you should ask. You see, some people you see on TV or somewhere, they've written, they're going to do a dua, and they've written the dua on the paper. So they are doing very sincerely. As soon as they look at the sheet, the sincerity and the effect is lost, because then it means that it's not coming from the heart. But if you learn Arabic, you have learned Arabic, mashallah, do stay in Arabic. But even dua in your own language, you, the dua which you will be not making dua, you will be reading the words of dua. For dua, jo log dua karte hain, bahut se log dua padte hain, dua mangte nahi. Especially jinhone likh ke rakhe hote 2-3 page, hum ye mangenge, theek hai likh ke, lekin baad dafa they are not from the heart. Oh, they are not from the heart. So, dua mangni hoti hai, dua padni nahi hoti. Don't recite duas, make duas. And making dua comes from the heart. And if a person should recite the masnoon duas, while actually their heart is present as well. So, Salatul Tawbah, many duas you can do. This dua al-hajat itself is there for Salatul Tawbah done. This dua of Salatul Hajah has Salatul Tawbah, dua of Tawbah in it as well. You see, you are asking, Allahumma inni as'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaima maghfiratik maghfirat wal ghanimata min kulli bir wa salamata min kulli ism la tada'li zamban illa ghafarta. Don't actually leave any sin which you have not forgiven me, O Allah. So that Salatul Haja is actually dua of Salatul Tawbah as well. But there are other duas, استغفار like استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو القيوم. And one is a very good one which Rasulullah SAW taught, that it is the استغفار of Hazrat Khizr رضي الله تعالى عنه. Hazrat Khizr. And that استغفار is like this: اللهم إني أستغفرك إليك لما تبت منه ثم عدت فيه. That, oh Allah, I ask forgiveness from you from the things which I did tawbah, and I returned to them back again. So this suits us more. فَقَالَ لِمَا تُبْتُ مِنْ ثُمَّ عُدْتُ فِي وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا أَعْتَيْتُكَ مِنْ نَفْسِي ثُمَّ لَمْ أُوفِي لَكَ بِهِ. And I ask forgiveness from the promises which I made with you and I did not fulfill them. وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِلنِّعْمِ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ بِهَا عَلَيَّ فَتَقَوَّيْتُ بِهَا الْمَعَاصِي. And I ask you that the blessings you bestowed upon me, I use them in your disobedience. The eyes you have bestowed me, the ears, I do not know. وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِلنِّعْمِ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ بِيَهَا لَيَّ فَتَقَوَّيْتُ بِلَا مَعَاسِي وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ أَرَدْتُ بِهِ وَجْهَكَ فَخَالِتَنِي مَا لِيسَ لَكَ. O Allah, I ask forgiveness from the every good deed which I began with good intention, but then my intention became corrupted. I ask forgiveness from that. Allahumma la tukhzini fa innaka bi alimun. O Allah, don't hold me accountable because you are all knower. You all know my everything. Don't hold me accountable, please. Wa la tu'azzibni fa innaka alayya qadirun. O Allah, don't punish me. You have all power over me. I am powerless in front of you. So you have all power over me. So this is a very good istighfar which suits sinful people more than the other istighfars. So I read again, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka ilayka lima tubtu minhu thumma udtu fihi wa astaghfiruka lima ataituka min nafsi thumma lam ufi laka bi wa astaghfiruka lin ni'ami allati an'amta biha alayya fataqabbaytu biha ala ma'asik wa astaghfiruka likulli khayrin aradtu bihi wajhak fakhalitani ma li salak. اللهم لا تخزني فإنك بي عالم ولا تعذبني فإنك علي قادر. So it's written, our brothers have, if anyone wants a copy, they can ask the brother, they can give you, mashallah, with translation. Any other question? Yes, brother. A person who is sinning and he says he will repent later, I would only say to him that if he can guarantee me he will live to that day, then do whatever you like. And if you can't guarantee your death can come before, then it is foolishness to wait for the day when you won't be here. That day will come, but you won't be here. The opportunity to do tawbah will be lost. So Rasulullah is saying that I take a sip or a morsel, a nawala of something in my mouth, and I fear I will die before it reaches my stomach or goes down to my throat. And this person saying, I repent when I become 70 years, it's as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you will die 70 years age. So he is acting on ignorance. So people who act upon ignorance, they will be disappointed. Yes. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. ہاں جی، میں یہ سمجھتا ہوں اس بارے میں جو آپ نے مشائخ کی تعلیمات سے اخذ کیا ہے کہ جو علماء ہوتے ہیں یہ دین کے وارث ہوتے ہیں، اور علماء جو ہوتے ہیں یہ معصوم نہیں ہوتے، یہ نبی نہیں. وہ نبی کی صفت ہوتی ہے معصوم ہونا. تو ایک بندے نے 1000 کتاب لکھی ہے، تو اس ایک کتاب میں ایک سطر میں غلطی بھی ہو سکتی ہے، لیکن جو ہی ان علماء کی توجہ دلائی جاتی ہے جو خدا خوف ہوتے ہیں، تو وہ اپنی غلطی درست کر لیتے ہیں. وہ مان جاتے ہیں کہ ہم سے غلطی ہو گئی، اللہ معاف کرے. تو پھر عام لوگوں کو بھی ان کی عزت احترام میں کوئی کمی نہیں آنی چاہیے کہ بھئی وہ مطلب یہ غلطی جو ہو گئی یہی اس کی دلیل ہے کہ وہ نبی نہیں ہے. عام بند بلی ہے یا عالم ہے تو وہ غلطی ان سے ہو سکتی ہے، بشرطے کہ وہ اس کو مان کے توبہ کر لے. لیکن اگر کوئی بندہ ڈٹا ہوا ہے تو پھر اس کی اصلاح بار بار کی جائے گی, ضروری ہے. جیسا مثلا مرزا غلام احمد قادیانی ہے, تو وہ کہتے ہیں ساری اسلام کی باتیں مانتا ہے لیکن سارے نماز بھی حنفیوں کی طرح پڑھتے ہیں سب کچھ, لیکن ایک بات پر کہ بھائی حضور علیہ السلام کے بعد نبی ہو سکتا ہے کہ نہیں, اور وہ کہ میں وہ نبی ہوں, تو اس بات پر اختلاف ہے. اب کیونکہ علماء نے, عام لوگوں نے اس کو, علماء نے اس کو توبہ کا موقع دیا, بھائی آ کے اپنی بات سمجھاؤ, اپنی غلطی درست کرو, تم نبی نہیں ہو, انسان بنو, جو ہو وہی رہو. لیکن وہ ضد پہ اٹک گیا, اور پھر اس کے پچھلے فالوور وہ اور زیادہ اٹک گئے. تو اب ان کی تو ان کے ساتھ اتفاق نہیں کیا جا سکتا, نہ ان کی عزت کی جا سکتی ہے, ان کا تو رد ہی کیا جائے گا. تو ہمارے جو علماء, جس میں یہ ڈاکٹر ذاکر نائک کی دے رہا تھا, یا ڈاکٹر اسرار احمد ہیں جو ہیں, یا اور علماء ہیں سر کے طور پر, جن سے کبھی کبھار تھوڑی بہت کمی کوتاہی ہوتی رہتی ہے, تو امید ہے کہ جب ان کو غلطی یاد دلائی جاتی ہے تو یہ آ کے وہ توبہ کر لیتے ہیں, یہ اپنی غلطی مان لیتے ہیں, درست کر لیتے ہیں. تو ان کی جیسے ڈاکٹر اسرار احمد نے وہ حضرت علی والی حدیث بیان کی, بھائی انہوں نے شراب پی کے نماز پڑھائی, تو جب ان کو بتایا گیا تو علماء نے بیٹھ کے بتایا کہ بھائی یہاں آپ سے تھوڑی بہت کوتاہی ہوئی ہے, یہ حدیث اس طرح نہیں ہے, اس طرح ہے, تو انہوں نے مان لیا اور معاملہ ختم. تو عام لوگوں کو پھر چاہیے کہ بھائی ان سے بغض نہ رکھیں, بھائی جو بندہ اپنی غلطی درست کر لے ان کا اسی طرح عزت احترام, اس لیے کہ وہ نبی نہیں ہے اور یعنی ولی ہیں. بس عام بندوں کو تو اتنا چاہیے اپنا کرنا, یہی میں اس بارے میں کہوں گا کہ علماء سے غلطی ہو سکتی ہے لیکن وہ اپنی غلطی پر قائم نہیں رہتے, جب ان کو پتہ چل جاتا ہے, توجہ دلائی جاتی ہے, تو وہ اپنی غلطی کو اپنا یعنی درست کر لیتے ہیں. تو یہ بہت خدمت کر رہے ہیں ماشاءاللہ, اس لیے میں نے پہلے ان کی تعریف کی, پھر بتایا کہ بھائی جو چیز بھائی ان میں اور اچھا, اور اچھے ہو جائیں, اور ان کی محنت آگے بڑھے, اور ان کو لوگ زیادہ فائدہ اٹھائیں, اگر وہ اپنی حدوں میں رہ کر اور اپنا وہ خدمت کریں گے تو اور زیادہ جو ہے وہ یعنی فائدہ ہوگا. وعلیکم السلام. صلاۃ الحاجت جو ہے وہ دیکھیں, نماز عصر کے بعد اگر وہ عصر سے پہلے بندہ اگر فرض نہیں پڑھے تو وہ دو رکعت صلاۃ الحاجت پڑھ سکتا ہے, اور اگر عصر کے بعد کرنا پڑ گیا تو وہ پھر اپنا صرف صلاۃ الحاجت کی دعا پڑھے گا, نماز نفل اس وقت جائز نہیں, وہ دعا صلاۃ الحاجت کی پڑھ کے اپنا شروع کر دے گا, اور صلاۃ التوبہ اور شکر یہ بعد میں پھر وہ پڑھ لے گا مغرب کے بعد, عشاء کے بعد, وہ بعد میں بھی پڑھ سکتا ہے. If a person have personal problems physically, spiritually, what should they do? They should do two things. One is asking help from Allah in the right way, which is the Salatul Hajat or doing any dhikr. And secondly, adopting the means. And that means to do mashwara. You see, a person should not just act upon things with their own. When they're in problem, their half of their mind is not working anyway at that time. So they should do mashwara with wise people, mashwara, consultation with wise people, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do istikhara, to guide them to the right decisions, and then they should also adopt the lawful means to get rid of those problems. And these, inshallah, three things they do, inshallah, this is the solution, which is a key to actually their problems, to the relevant people. If there are spiritual problems, they will see, obviously do a mashwara with mashayikh, a mashwara with spiritual teachers. If they have a physical problem, they will see a doctor. If they have financial problem, they will try to see business consultant and experts. But obviously, salatul hajat and istikhara should be done in all circumstances. And inshallah, also they should do mashwara with people who are people of rai, people of wisdom, people of good opinion, people who are expert in their field. And after mashwara, they should then decide. alaykum salam. There is no sin which is not actually forgiven with tawbah, repentance. Even shirk and kufr is the greatest sin. They even actually become, a person becomes actually free from sin even after that. So our brother sitting here on the chair, he has definitely less sins and very few sins. He's like a newborn. Then he is like a wali now at this time. And I especially don't have less sins, and you might have less sins, but he, so a person who does tawbah, like he embraced Islam, his all previous slate is clean. It's completely white paper he has. So he's got a new relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is more closer to him than many of the actually Muslims. JazakAllah, because you have to take that test as well, and inshallah you can use the time now 5 till Dasar prayer to write, and you can also write about 15 minutes after as well, or 20 minutes after Asr. If anyone wants more time, there's no time constraint, so it's about 45 minutes now to 1 hour, 40 then 20 minutes if after anyone wants to write. And inshallah they should write, because it's not the test, you are going to get award or actually worldly reward or anything such. It is just to know how much you know, so that some people, they can be selected then to be trained further, and the others who do not, they maybe will actually again train on these basis again, so that their knowledge is really well. And inshallah it will also show how much you know. And it's not a full test as well, it's only based on the first six sessions, not the last four. So inshallah, you can write in Urdu, you can write in English, you can write in Arabic, as you wish. So any question you don't understand, Sheikh Sardar Ahmad Qadri is here. Inshallah you can, he can translate for you in English to Arabic or English to Urdu. And inshallah, if you don't understand, you can ask him. Otherwise, you write. So, have you got the pieces of paper to give Abu Usman? Yes, to give them out, and they have something to write as well. Yes. All people should do, including Brother Usman, Mawlana Sardar Ahmad, they should all do it in their own way, mashallah, because it's all this knowledge learning actually beneficial for everyone, mashallah. Yes, yes, you can. ٹھیک ہے, جزاکاللہ. آپ کریں انشاءاللہ, بھی اللہ پاک برکت دے, اللہ سے مدد طلب کریں, خاص ہیلپ فرام اللہ, گائیڈنس فرام اللہ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open your mind, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.